Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. So today we have Sarah Ann Shockley. She's the author of a book called The Pain Companion. And in the fall of 2007, she contracted thoracic outlet syndrome, which is sort of a collapse in the area between the clavicles and the ribs. And since that time, she's learned to live with this debilitating nerve pain. And she wrote this book called The Pain Companion, which I spent the week really reading it and looking it over, and found it very, very, it's very sweet, tender, gentle, compassionate, kind of nurturing book, which personally I think is just what is needed with people that are suffering from chronic pain. And in case those of you don't know, chronic pain is, it's a terrible problem in our country right now. 10 to 11% of Americans suffer from severe chronic pain. So I think this book came right in the nick of time, and I'm so delighted, Sarah, to talk about it because it was such a sweet book, and I think it's such an important book. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be here, Lisa. Thank you.
So we were talking actually before we started recording about how much I appreciate this, and I'm coming from the perspective of not a person that experiences pain, but I've been teaching Reiki and doing Reiki, working as a healer for over 20 years. And, you know, we were saying that so many of my students are seeing clients that are looking, they're coming to Reiki because they're in pain. And I just think it's a big problem, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's huge. There was a study done by the National Institutes of Health a couple of years ago, and they think that 1 in 3 Americans are in pain. Not all of that is chronic pain, but that's a lot of people suffering. And that's only the people that go to doctors and get recorded. A lot of us carry on, a lot of single parents, a lot of people that feel, are afraid of losing work if they go to the doctor about pain. So I think, you know, there's millions and millions of people in this country in pain right now. So it's a huge problem. Very timely. It's very important to talk about it. You know, talking about pain isn't our favorite thing to have to do, but the fact that we don't talk about it is adding to the problem, I think. I think it's really important to have this conversation, and particularly how it affects people who are living with chronic pain over time.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? Your thoracic outlet syndrome is not something that I've ever heard of before. What happened?
Yeah. Unfortunately, and we call it TOS for short, so I can speak in shorthand, it's unfortunately getting more prevalent. For me, it came through computer use, and neurologists are seeing it show up more and more because of that. What happened for me is I'm almost 6 feet tall. I was working in a non-ergonomic station, you might say, for private individuals, so nothing was really set up like an office. It was, and I was working on a laptop, but kind of a mini laptop keyboard. So it was very small. I was cramping the top of my body for a couple of years without realizing it. And as you mentioned, thoracic outlet syndrome is a collapse between the clavicles, the collarbones, and the first rib. And what happens is when it collapses up there, it squeezes the scalene muscle from the neck, some nerve ganglia, a major artery, and veins. It all have to fit through this relatively narrow space anyway. So it squeezes them all. It's very, very painful. Very debilitating. It affects the use of the arms and the hands. It's hard to turn or tilt the neck, and eventually the pain goes through the whole body. So it's quite intense. And in mine, I had, for some reason, I got really super duper version of it. Most people have it on one side or the other of the body. I got it on both sides. And most people, according to my neurologist, have it only on one or two levels, you know, the muscles or the nerves, or the veins, and I had it on all of those too. So for me, there wasn't much we could do about it. It doesn't lend itself really well to manipulation, chiropractic. You might think it would, it doesn't. There's just some exercises, physical therapy that people can do when they have a lighter version than I do, but everything that I did made it worse. So I was kind of left to my own devices. Like, what do I do? And I'm not a big one for medications anyway, but I did try some nerve medications to just show that I tried. You kind of have to do that in the disability process. And they were, it didn't work for me at all. Terrible side effects, and they didn't do much for the pain. So there I was, you know, just sitting in pain for, and wondering, what do I do with this?
Well, I know this is a weird question, but I wonder if you can explain to us, what's it like to be in pain like that? So for people that haven't ever experienced it, what is chronic pain like?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. I really appreciate you asking it, because those of us who have to live with chronic pain feel often not seen, not heard, not understood. When we think about pain, we usually think about it, the physicality of it. You know, like, my knee hurts, my neck hurts, my foot hurts, whatever. When it's short-term pain, that's often how it is. And we work with that part of the body that's hurting. When we're talking about long-term pain and chronic pain, what happens is it begins to take over life. The pain spreads through the body in various ways, sometimes because the body's compensating for that injured part, a lot of times because we aren't sleeping well, so that adds to it. We're not able to exercise the way we used to be able to exercise. So over a number of months, years, however long it takes, we begin to feel like we're immersed in pain, that we live in a sphere of pain. And we wake up in pain, we go to sleep in pain, we cook in pain, we parent in pain, we love people in pain, we have a relationship. I mean, everything we do is in pain. And over time, if we're, you know, what tends to happen is, for one thing, we pull away from life because we can't participate like we used to. We begin to isolate ourselves, and it's kind of a natural response. It's almost necessary to try to heal, but then we start to feel very cut off and alone in our pain. And because we don't talk a lot about pain and what it does to people, we don't necessarily realize that other people are feeling like us. So we ask about what it does in terms of the emotional responses. Over time, we feel a lot of sadness and loss. There's a lot of grief involved in terms of how much time we've lost, how much life we've lost. For me, it was, I'm a parent, a single parent, my son was 11 when this happened, and for me, it was terribly sad to not be able to do the things I wanted to do with him. Athletically, adventures, traveling, you know, just riding bikes and swimming were out. So there's that. There's also a lot of fears come up. It's very scary to be in pain over time. You know, when you know it's going to end, the fears are manageable. But when it becomes obvious that it's not ending and nothing you're doing is helping it, that becomes extremely scary. And it's about what's happening to the body, but it's also what's happening to your life. Who am I now in pain? Who can I be? What can I do? Can I keep my job? Am I going to lose it? Will I get disability? Who's going to pay all these bills? Is this treatment that I'm using going to make me better? Is it going to make me worse? I mean, there's just a million things. A lot of us wake up in the middle of the night having panic attacks. So there's so much that goes on around the actual physical pain that involves our emotional world and our emotional state. A lot of guilt and shame around being in pain. We feel bad about ourselves. We can't participate. So it goes on and on. It's really an intense experience and very difficult path.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, when you're talking, like it takes you out of life in a way, or it takes you off what you thought your life was going to be and puts you on a different track.
Yeah, you're hugely diverted from what you've seen. Your life just goes over here. And for me, I had been very active, athletic. I used to do kung fu and danced a lot, and certainly swam and, you know, hiked and backpacked, and was the kind of person that felt capable and resourceful, and often, you know, I was the one that got things done. And almost literally overnight, everything stopped. And that is not only frightening, it's shocking to the system. It's shocking to the person, because you've lost almost your whole life to pain. And what does that mean? And what do you do with that?
Yeah, it's like a total identity shift. And then to an identity that people don't understand, that maybe people hide, you know, or feel embarrassed about.
Yes.
And I know that there's a huge correlation between chronic pain and depression, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think because we have a very pain-averse culture that we live in, so we grow up, you know, learning that you don't show pain, you don't talk about your pain, you don't complain about your pain. At least I certainly did in New England. You know, you keep it to yourself, you get over it,
get
through it.
Me too. We're neighbors.
You know, yeah.
I live in New England too.
And I think this is really part of our whole culture too, is that we have a culture of individualism, keep going, make those goals, carry on, ever. And I think when we meet pain and when we meet illness or any kind of injury, we apply that to that. You know, that kind of carry on attitude and the push through keep going and the make it work.
I live right outside Boston, you know, and we're pretty tough as Bostonians. And
and
the whole thing in my neighborhood was like, you get hurt and somebody would say, rub a little dirt on it and walk it off.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And for little things that can work. But, you know, when you're in chronic pain, that's not so great. And what happens is that we've created a culture where pain isn't allowed. We're not supposed to ever have it. So what happens when you've met pain for some reason, you've got it in your body and it won't leave? How do you feel about yourself? Awful. Because it's not supposed to be there, quote unquote. You know, our culture says it's bad. It's not supposed to ever happen. Look the other way. Keep going. Don't feel it. And this begins, you know, makes the person in pain feel like they have to be invisible. And they are. They feel like they are invisible. They're kind of erased. We're not allowed to have what's happening to us be happening to us. A lot of us are blamed for not healing fast enough. Why aren't you trying? You know, sometimes it's very overt. Some doctors will just say you can't still be in pain. And sometimes it's more subtle. The people around us just saying, you know, well, why don't you try this? And haven't you tried that? And, oh, come on, keep going. And that's
new agey thing that comes up these days too, which is like, now it's your fault. Block haven't you worked through? What issue haven't you resolved?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, before this happened to me, I had spent many years with Native American shamans working with them. I worked with Sufis, I'd worked with a lot of New Age stuff. So I came into this already knowing many of those alternative modalities and alternative approaches. That also had worked with someone who was doing Reiki. So I knew a lot of these things, and people would say, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And I was like, man, I came in knowing those things and they didn't help me. They helped me get through it. They helped me look on the other side, try to understand it. They helped me look deeper and all those things. But they didn't fix anything. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. So I came to understand, you know, I know the New Age wants to tell us that we don't have to have pain and that all pain is resistance. And we get that too with, you know, Christianity says that. They say, well, you don't have enough faith. You know, there's some way somewhere, and the medical system says you're not doing it right, where the person in pain is the one who's blamed for not getting better. And we take a lot of that. And, you know, let's maybe step back from that negative view of it and just say, we're humans. We're human beings on this path. And on this path of life, we're going to meet pain. We don't like it. We don't want to, but it's going to be there. Emotional pain, physical pain at some point. So it's not whether or not. It's kind of like aging or death or anything else. We don't want it to happen, but we can't just say, no, it's not going to happen. And if it happens to you, you're the problem. You know, it's like, no, this is something that happens in life. It's something that we meet. And it's how are we going to meet it? And to kind of pull back from making people in pain wrong about that, rather instead, okay, this is something that somebody's moving through as best they can.
It seems like you're, I love that, by the way. I love your attitude about that, because I just think it's not helpful, what's wrong with you that you can't kick it. And I totally agree that, you know, especially in Americans, I think it's a bit worse, really, since we've had the age of social media, that it's sort of not okay to be not okay, you know, whether it's grief or depression or mental health issues or, you know, chronic illness, chronic pain, all these things are sort of swept under the rug. And then if it's your fault on top of it, it's so isolating and so dehumanizing in a way. And one of the things that I really liked about what you talked about is having this more friendly approach to pain. And it seems weird to be friendly towards your pain, but the friendliness had a compassion quality. And I think if you have nerve pain and it's your nerves, why not be like a little compassionate, you know.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
A little friendly about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because pain, you know, again, it's our culture that says all pain is bad. We have to fight pain. We have to kill it. You know, our medications are called pain killers. You know, but pain is a signal. It's a signal from the body. It's a part of you that is hurting, talking to you. So if we turn around and try to sort of punch it in the nose and cut it out of our bodies and resist it and push against it, we're fighting ourselves on a certain level. And if it works, great. But for millions of people, that approach is not seeming to work too well. I mean, that's basically what we're given. Fight it or give in, you know, put up with it. We aren't given up. There's a range of things in between that. And what I like to work with is, instead of fighting pain, even though we don't like it, I'm not saying we have to love, you know, well, we might want to love it, but we don't have to enjoy it, is to turn toward it and to imagine that it's an ally. It's a partner with pain. So, wow, this is part of me asking for attention. It's part of me asking for something I haven't been giving it. And obviously, I'm not sure what that is yet, or I wouldn't be in pain. But to even have a conversation with pain, to begin to create a positive relationship with it, to communicate with it, ask it what it needs, ask it what it's here for, what can I do for you? Very, very different stance. And that in itself, that seemingly small shift, is actually hugely profound and can begin to make more healing, allow more healing to come in. When you relax that stance from I hate you and I'm going to fight you to, okay, I don't like you particularly. It's not what I chose, but here we are together on this path. What are we going to do? You know, how do we work together, pain? What do I need to do? How do I need to change? What do you need from me?
And you have some, I mean, I totally think that's wonderful. And seeing it as an ally, sort of leaning into it, getting friendly. And probably the worst pain I've ever had was childbirth. And,
oh, yeah, that's huge.
You know, it's pretty good pain. But it yeah. You know, doesn't last very long, and you get something really nice at the end of it. And,
yes.
You know, I remember my birth coach saying, like, you know, the pain is worse if you hold your breath and tighten and resist, and the pain gets much better if we relax into it, soften, breathe through
yes.
it. And I wonder if there's something like that that can be applied to chronic pain.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked a lot with pain and with breath and awareness when I was working with pain. How does my breathing affect pain? And how does the way I hold my body affect it? So when we think of pain as an invader or an enemy, we naturally tighten up around it. We tighten that part of the body up because we don't want to feel it. And we don't want it to sort of infect the rest of us and sort of spread. So a lot of times we're holding our breath, or we're almost pushing against the pain with our breath. I noticed a lot of those things in myself. So I began to work with, well, what would happen if I did the opposite? What would happen if I let my breath get a little softer? Even though it's scary, you know, when you've got really acute pain, like many of us have and have had, you don't want it to go any. I mean, you don't want to give it any space. You don't want to give it any breath. You don't want to give it anything. You feel like you have to clamp down on it. But that's actually making it worse, as you were saying earlier. So if we can just, you know, the pain's already here. It's already arrived. We're not going to stop it by clamping down on it. So if we can kind of release a little bit around it, relax a little bit, and part of that too is allowing ourselves to realize pain is here for a positive purpose. And if we realize it's really not trying to kill us, even though it feels like it might be sometimes, you know, it's in a sense, it's the sensation of us trying to heal. So if we can think along those terms and begin to relax our breathing, even just around the pain, let the pain be where it is, relax the body around the pain, relax our breath a little bit. Don't even have to breathe deeply. Sometimes that's even more painful. But just beginning to use breath as a way of being aware of pain. And then what I started doing is thinking, well, what if I did the opposite of fighting it? What if I gave it some breath? What if I gave it room, which sounds, you know, completely counterintuitive, at least from our standpoint of pain. So why would you do that? And yet I found when I imagined that pain was breathing with me or breathing on its own, as if almost pain was another person, it began to relax. And I think the part of the body begins to relax, and the part and your body around the pain relaxes. And that, of course, has physiological benefits too. The blood starts to flow better. The tissues can heal better when you're more relaxed. But there's also, I think, you know, spiritual, metaphysical, mental, and psychological effects and emotional effects. And we just have to remember that the pain isn't just physical. It's affecting the whole person. So if we can bring the whole person into the involvement with healing and know that we have more power than we realize, we have more effect than we realize on healing. After all, what heals? The body does. The doctors don't actually heal us. The medications don't actually heal us. Nobody does, but our body. They might be offering us something to help the body. They might be helping us clear things out of the way so the body can heal. But it's our body. We heal ourselves. So kind of remembering that and allowing the whole self to be in alignment with a more of a healing attitude, a more of a healing stance, and more of a healing breath and a healing relationship with pain.
Yeah, I love the title of your book, The Pain Companion, you know, and I know you wrote it as a companion for people who are in pain, but I also think probably the pain is like a companion, the way you're describing it.
Yeah, it's a companion we never wanted to have. It's like the thing that wouldn't leave, you know, this roommate that moved in and it's like, oh no, you're still here. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, I don't want this here. And then when it stays and stays and stays, you really have to, it's really important to go, okay, wow, it's not leaving. And in a way, it is part of me. So, you know, I found that the way we are with pain reflects the way we are with ourselves, the way we are with the parts of us that are hurting, the way we are with the parts of us that we don't like. So if we can understand that pain is trying to be a companion, even though it's uncomfortable, it's kind of like screaming for attention. So when we can give it attention, but give it a different kind of attention, not the attention of the fighting kind and the I hate you kind, but if we can soften our attention and kind of turn to it with kindness, just the way we'd like to be treated. You know, we treat our pain, we want to treat our pain the way we would like to be treated, with softness, with kindness, with understanding, listening to it, offering it compassion. After all, it's us. And not trying to keep pushing it out and separating it out, but kind of welcoming it in, even though it's really hard to do. I mean, at first, it's very hard to do this because it feels scary. And it goes against the grain, against what we've been taught about pain, that it'll just get worse if we give it attention, that it will take up more room, that it'll be, you know, a bad thing. And yet, it's kind of like a kid, you know, a kid will keep bugging you and bugging you and bugging you, and you can get mad at them. But then you can just turn and say, well, how can I help you? You know, just kind of get down on that level and say, what did you need? And then the kid's like, oh, thank you. I just needed some attention here. I needed you to cuddle me. I needed, you know, and to really kind of start to think about pain as something to hold in a softer way. And it does, I found that it doesn't go away immediately. It doesn't end everything in 2 seconds, but the edges of it start to soften a bit when we do this. And this, you know, it just starts to go, oh, just a little bit around the edges. And man, if we can even have that much happen, a little bit of change means that we can change a little more and a little more. And it's going to take the time it takes, you know.
I want everybody who wants your book to be able to get hold of it. And, you know, not just people that are in pain, but maybe the caretakers for people that are dealing with people in pain, healthcare providers, doctors, you know, physical therapists, like everyone should really have this. So how can we get your book or learn more about your work?
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. It's really helpful for practitioners to read it because it helps understand what your clients and your patients are going through. They're living with pain, things that aren't necessarily obvious. So yeah, you can find it anywhere in any online bookseller, and certainly go to your independent bookstore in your town. Anybody can order the book. It's through New World Library, so it's available everywhere. And you can find me on my website. It's www.thepaincompanion.com. So that's easy to remember. And I have a blog, and I have a YouTube channel with little meditations for people in pain, and I have resources online there for free. And I always love to hear from listeners. So if you want to reach out to me, I have a contact form. Just drop me a line or respond to one of my blog posts and tell me how you're doing. And I always write back. So happy to hear from people.
Sarah Ann Shockley, thank you so much for being here today and talking about this so needed conversation we have about pain and the pain companion. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate having been here. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank all of you guys out there in Empower Radio Land. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at lisacampion.com. Otherwise, we will catch you next time here on Empower Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.